We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalms 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking one another in psalms and in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Psalms 136, 26 says, give thanks to the God of heaven for his loving kindness, graciousness, mercy, compassion endures forever. Psalms 106.1 says, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107.1 says, give thanks to him, for he is good, for his grace endures forever. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in prayers and petitions, although with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds the understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus Christ. Let's give him a little bit of thanks today. This is the season of thanks. This is the season of thanksgiving to him. Oh, hallelujah, God. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the salvation you provided us for. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for your son that you died for us, Lord. Oh, God, that you bled your sin upon us, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb you've shed for each and one of us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I shared with my family yesterday. We had family Thanksgiving at the Hancock House. And I told them, said, you know, this is something that every young minister, I still consider myself young, even though I'm pushing 50. I'm still young in the ministry. That whenever they get to have a holiday, be it Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, it's something that they really want to do because it's a holiday. And I've had a Thanksgiving thing kind of set aside for a couple of years now. Pastor had asked me to make sure I've got a couple of things in place in the event that he's not going to be here. Not a problem. So I had a couple sermons together. And I was like, okay, I get to preach with the Thanksgiving message that I've got. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So I'm in prayer and fasting this week. And it was like, no. No, that's the direction we're going to go in. Okay, what am I going to do? This is what I have planned. He's giving us something totally different today, and I believe it's of God and from him. I ask you that you remember Pastor today. He is in Kingsport, Tennessee. His pastor, Brother Keith Barker, had passed away on Thursday. Brother Barker was a great man of God. Many may not know that he was the general superintendent or the state of Pennsylvania for several years, about as long as he was there as he was in Kingsport as a pastor there. He had many ministers sitting under him. I ask you that we're going to join together right now. We're going to pray for the Barker family and for the church there in Kingsport. It's the Christian Life Center. If you would join me in prayer and comfort and peace over that church at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. Oh God, we ask you, Lord, to wrap your arms of comfort, of peace around that church and congregation, Lord. Oh God, that they will celebrate in the life of Brother Barker, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you will touch the souls that are in that service today, Lord, that you will have a mighty move of God in that building today, Lord. Oh God, that you bring peace and comfort to them, Lord. Oh God, knowing that he is in glory today, worshiping you and magnifying you and lifting you up today, Lord. Oh God, I praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You can remain standing. You can sit down. Just don't stop worshiping. I don't care what you do as far as sitting up or sitting down. I'm going to have several scriptures that I'm going to read. These are all going to be from the King James. And normally whenever I have an opening verse, it's one or two, but it's several. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. And it reads, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." God was looking for someone in the land that would be a prayer warrior. He was looking for someone that would stand in the gap. And he found no one. A little back further in the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, protection. Intercessor, fill in the gap, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But I found none." Two times. Let's jump over to James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 8 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." His time's coming. It's getting closer and closer and closer. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 reads, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and enmity. But put ye on the Lord Jesus, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Bishop, will you pray? Amen. Jesus is coming very soon. Something we have heard for a long time. We all know that we don't have promise of tomorrow. We don't have a promise of the next second. Any of us could drop dead, blink of an eye. But I think we have become so distracted and entertained by the things of this world that we have lost sight of where we need to be. And this is just not a sermon for you. This is a sermon hit me square in the eyes. We get distracted about things of this world. We get distracted on social media and like, oh, what's going on over here? Oh, look at this. Do you see what they're doing over here? Facebook is awesome for gossip. Don't blame me, look at Terrible Anonymous. Really? Buck up, Scooter. You got a complaint? Say it. Don't do something anonymous. Come on. Really? But before you make that complaint, you really need to do some self-reflection. Because there ain't one of us that's perfect at all. We get distracted by playing video games. We get distracted with our careers. It's very easy to do. We get distracted with our finances. Oh, how are we going to make this week? I mean, we have $250. I've got to take care of water this week. I've got to take care of our internet. We've got our food. We've got to get groceries. Good Lord, that's my entire check right there for groceries. I mean, man, we get distracted by those things. All of us do. There's every little thing that you can think of. You get distracted with your children, with their school, and you want to make sure they're doing great. And come on, little Susie, you got this. You're really good. Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about this. But I got to make sure that she's getting straight A's all through school because that's my focus. I got to pour everything I have into this child. We get distracted. Some of you are distracted right now. You are. You're fiddling with something in your hands. You're playing off your phone. You're worried about the little ones in the back playing as kids will play kids. But I could tell you, if you were at home watching TV, watching a movie, you wouldn't hear them at all. Because I could tell you, I could shut anybody out. I don't have to listen to anything. My daughter, I'm going to tell on her and my dad both. Those two, I could tell you, if there's a program on TV, if it's a basketball game, if it's an Illinois basketball game, both of these two turkeys over here will sit right there, and you can get a bomb go off next to them, and they won't move because they are zoned in. They are totally distracted. Their focus is on the game. Folks, we are coming to the end of the game. It's the fourth quarter. The two-minute warning has already gone off. This is the championship game. This is the big game. You can't say the other one because Facebook would get upset and they'll shut us down. They won't let me say that game. But you know what I'm talking about. Your team's down by 6 points, one touchdown. Your team has the ball. If we aren't careful, we'll do what humans tend to do, at least I do, on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm done. I'm done for the week. No more. Andy has checked out. I'm still sitting behind my desk in my office. I have shut down in my job. I've got 26 different screens that I have open at all times that I'm flipping through as I'm talking to customers. But I can tell you at 4 o'clock, and my boss knows this, so she sees this, she knows. At 4 o'clock, Andy's clicking boxes off. Nope, I don't need this, don't need that. I'll leave a couple things open in case someone walks into my office and needs something, and I know that just these three or four screens, I can get most of my stuff done. I have already checked out. I have made it all week. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have anything like that before? It's like, thank you, God, that I made it through this week. Because I didn't know if I was going to. I was going to kill somebody. But I didn't, by the grace of God. So we start checking things off and we start getting kind of lax and we're really, I'm gone. But it's in that last hour that we get a little distracted by things. You're still getting paid to do your job in that last hour of the day, the last hour of the week. You owe it to your employer as you owe it to yourself to still give as much as you did at 4 o'clock on Friday as you did at 10 o'clock on Monday. You should. You should still keep your nose to the grindstone and keep on focusing and taking care of that problem and taking care of those issues. But we don't. We all do. To say to anyone works all the way up till 5 o'clock and continues to 5 o'clock, if you do, that means you're a salary manager and you're always on the clock 24/7. I know that feeling. But we do the same thing in our walk with Christ. Well, I go to church, I attend, I've been baptized, I've had the Holy Ghost, I do what's supposed to do, I read my Bible, I'm doing okay, just ready for Him to come. Just ready for God to come back. I'm just going to kind of coast from here on out. Really? How's that going to work out for you? How do you think that's going to work on Judgment Day whenever He sits down and talks to you and says, Avalyn, you were doing really good. You were doing great. But you kind of got lax just a little bit towards the end. You just kind of coasted. Andy's been coasting. Anybody else been coasting? Yes, sir. Anybody else? You don't have to raise your hands. Yes. I've coasted. I have been coasting. It's like, yeah, I'm in church. I go. I attend. My prayer life hasn't been where it needed to be. Hasn't. My fasting hadn't been where it needed to be. Takes a little bit of redirection for Andy. And Andy's a hard head. Man, I'm a hard head. It takes a lot to wake me up sometimes. To get me back where I need to go. And putting Him the priority. And refocusing on Him. And making sure that's where I'm going. This is where I'm going to go. You want to go with me? Come on, let's go. You don't? Sorry about you. Because I'm moving forward with Him. It's kind of like a story in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I didn't give Brother Tim this. But this is a whole story that I'm going to kind of paraphrase for everyone and kind of give you the highlights of it. We read about three key individuals in 1 Samuel chapter 25. We read about David, Nabal, and Abigail. David, whose name means loving, was the anointed king of Israel. Nabal, whose name means fool, and it's in there. I believe it's in verse 5 or 6 where it says his name is fool. That's what it means. And then Abigail, whose name means source of joy. In this story, we see David is walking about the outskirts of Nabal's property and his land, and he's sitting there for a while. It doesn't tell us how long he had been there, but by reading a little bit more of the story, we can summarize that he had been there for some time. David and his men, there were about 600 men, I believe the story goes, had been around this perimeter of Nabal's property. Nabal was a very rich man. He had a lot of sheep and goats. He's very well off. He was well known in the city of Carmel. Greatly known. Very rich man. A lot of property. One evening, David and his men are around the outskirts of his property, and they hear a lot of commotion and a lot of celebration and hooting and hollering. And this time of year is the time that they start shearing the sheep and the goats, and they would harvest that. And it's their time of Thanksgiving. They're having a good time. They're celebrating their bountiful that they've been given for that year. How well they had been blessed because they have all this extra money because they cashed in all their crops, all their goods. They're having a feast. They're having a good old time. David looks at a couple of his guys, picks out 10 of them. He goes, "Hey, fellas, why don't you go down there and talk to Abel and say, hey, man, can we have a little bit of, I don't know, some food, something to drink? I mean, we've been up here this entire time on this mountainside protecting Nabal and his investments. You know, we like some sort of repayment. You know, he didn't ask us to do that, but let's go ask him." So 10 of his servants go down and they take the trek to Nabal's property. And yes, hey, is the owner here? I'd like to talk to him. Yeah, sure. Comes up. Yeah, what do you want? Hey, we're servants of David, the crown king, the son of Jesse. And we've been up on the hillsides for a while. And we're just wondering if you could share some of your bounty that you have given us. You know, it'd be nice if you could give us, you know, just a couple drinks and some food on it. We're not asking for a lot. Just a little bit. You've got more than enough. We know that you've had a bountiful harvest this year, and I know that everything has gone great and it's been wonderful. The old looks at them and goes, "David? Who's David? I don't know who that is. I could really care less. This is mine. This is my land. This is my property. This is my food. This is my family. I don't owe this David anything. Get out of here. Bunch of beggars." "It's David. Whatever. Just leave." So that's what they do. The 10 servants go back to David. And David is sitting there going, "Hey guys, where's the... all the food? Where's... you bring anything with you? I'm kind of hungry, a little thirsty." "Well, your grace..." I call my wife her grace sometimes. That's her middle name. "Well, your grace, we went down there and I don't know, man. The guy just flipped a switch, man. He just went... he went off. I don't know who this David is. This David can take a flying leap. I don't owe him anything. He's gone." Things escalated quickly. I mean, fast. For someone that is known as loving as David was all hands. He was ready to go. He told his boys, "Hey, fellas, strap up. Get your swords. Mount up. 200 of you stay here. 400 of you, come on. We're going to roll. We're going to go have a little chit-chat with old Nabal. We're going to show him exactly who I am. He's going to find out that I have been his protector this entire time. I'm the one who has allowed him to get blessed. I'm the one who has allowed him to celebrate his little party he's having. Because without me guarding his little spot in the world, his little party he thinks he's having, if it wasn't for me, the wolves would have taken care of his sheep. The other shepherds that aren't so great could have stolen his sheep. My men could have killed his sheep and ate those. You're going to stop me? There's 600. We're a mighty army. We're going to go teach him a lesson. Let's go. So, David and his men, they start going to Nabal's house. He's going to get owned. They are going to wipe the face of the earth with that man and destroy everything he has. But there was a servant that overheard the conversation as they were standing in the corner listening to the 10 servants that came and talked to Nabal. And that servant's like, wait a minute. I know these guys. These are the ones that protected us. These are the ones that took care of us and watched over and made sure we're okay. Mabel's an idiot. He's going to get us killed. And go talk to the wife. Let's go talk to the level-headed one. Let's go talk to Abigail. Hey, Abigail, your wackadoo of a husband over here decided that he was going to tick off David and his army. I'm sorry, what? Yeah. He's like, I don't know who this King David is. I don't know who this guy is. I could really care less. This is all mine. David and his army are the ones that made sure we were safe when we were up there. They're the ones that took care of us, that watched over us. They were the wall between harm and the blessings that we received. They were the ones that stood in the gap and took care of that to protect us. And he done screwed up, man. He done ticked him off, and he's coming, and he's mad. All the man asked for was a little bit of food and something to drink. That's all he asked for. Abigail takes a second, and she goes, oh, no. Oh, no. No. The man's an idiot. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to die. I don't want all of us to be wiped off the face of the earth because that's what he's going to do. He has the power to erase us. This is David we're talking about. Sometimes David didn't have the best track record with his temper. He made people disappear. He did. So she tells her servants, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go get a bunch of stuff to drink. I want you to get a bunch of bread. I want you to get a bunch of desserts. I want you to pack all this stuff up on it. And what we're going to do, we're going to put that on some donkeys, and we're going to head up there, and we're going to try everything we possibly can to cut them off, to stop this from happening. Because I don't want to die. We got to do something to appease David and his men. So that's exactly what they do. They take off running, and they're on her donkey, and she's going as fast as she possibly can, and she runs into David and his men. And the first thing she does was, David, please forgive my husband. Please forgive me. Please don't destroy us. Please don't have any harm come to us. Please don't. Please, I'm begging you. Please don't hurt me. Please have mercy on my family. Please have mercy on my people. Here, take all this. This is yours. It belongs to you. This is your portion of everything that I can give you. David could have simply kept on moving. Could have simply said, too late. Too bad, so sad. Too little, too late. I have made up my mind. I have been insulted. I am the king. I have the army to wipe him out, and I'm going to. Could have easily said that. But he chose not to. He accepted her apology. He accepted her gifts, told her thank you, turned away. The story doesn't end there. That story moves on a little bit further to where Abigail tells Nabal as far as who it was and what she did. And it sounds, as far as listening to the story, this is just Andy, it sounds like he may have had a stroke or something of that nature because he was paralyzed after she told him what had happened. And then he died. There's still nothing in this story because Abigail went to be David's wife. She went to go live with the King of Kings. The three individuals in this story in 1 Samuel chapter 25 have a very clear description of something in the spirit. David represents Jesus. Nabal represents the world. And Abigail represents the church. Psalms chapter 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done innumerable works. There is none that doeth good." We are living in a time where people don't want to recognize God. We're living in a time to where it's me, self-centered. I am God. There's no such thing. They don't want to honor God. They don't want to praise Him. They don't want to bring sacrifices to Him. They just want to walk away. Jesus is standing and watching over His creation today. And if you remember our first two verses that we talked about, I believe God is looking down over creation right now and going, "Well, is there anyone? Is there anyone out there that is going to pray? Is there anyone that is willing to sacrifice? Is there anyone that is going to step out from the norm? Is there anyone that's going to be an intercessor? Is there anyone that their heart, their every being, is want to see the lost saved?" I truly believe that the only thing right now that's preventing God from coming back right now is He's waiting for one more. There's just one more that He wants. We are that close, folks. I truly believe that blinking of an eye, gone. I don't know about you, but I want to be that one person that's like, "Okay, God, use me. I don't care what you want me to do. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll be that vessel. I will be that instrument. I will worship you. I will praise you. I will worship you and praise you when others aren't. I've made up my mind." That's what Andy is going to do. You have to make up your mind. What are you going to do? Are you going to allow yourself to be that vessel? Are you going to allow yourself to be that instrument for His kingdom? "Well, I've only been in church for a couple of minutes." Don't care. He used a donkey. He used a bush. That doesn't even have a brain. He can use us. But we have to be willing and open to Him and follow Him. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that he should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. All the appointed king is wanting is some appreciation. It's all he's wanting. It's all he's wanting from us. He wants to show some thanks. Thanks, Lord. Thank you. Please use me, God. There are some Abigails here today. This Abigail stands in the gap and pleads on behalf of Nabal to spare their lives. We need some more Abigails in the world today. We need some so when we go before the throne of God, we can pray for that soul. I want to ask that you stand with me. I'm coming to a close. And I'm going to ask you to do something that I imagine no preacher has ever asked you to do across the pulpit, ever. You'll probably never hear them ask you to do this again. I want you to get your cell phones. Everybody pull your cell phone out. I know you all have a cell phone because standing up here, I can see you playing with them. I know you have your cell phones. Get your cell phone out. Please, hold your cell phone up. I want everybody to go to their contacts on your cell phone. I want you to scroll through your contacts, and I want you to find someone on there that you haven't talked to for a while. Someone that has been on your heart. I don't care who this person is. I don't care if it's a family member, someone you worked with or used to work with, or just an acquaintance. I don't care who it is. Get your cell phones. Are you finding that person? Because right now, this is your altar call, folks. You're making a decision right now. I'm not going to open the altar after the sermon's done. This is your time of decision. Once you have that person on there, I want you to go ahead and raise your phone up. And what we're going to do, we're going to pray over that person. We're going to pray healing over them. We're going to pray that God touches them, that he uses you through them, that you will be able to be a witness to them, that you will make a difference in their life, that you will be that Abigail, that you will stand in the gap for them.